I want to say thank you first for Andries and for all the elders for the opportunity that they give me to come and share something that's lying very, very hard in my heart, heavy on my heart. And I'm sure also on the heart of God, and it's very close to Jesus' heart. Welcome to each and everyone this morning, and I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our precious Lord. And it's just by His grace that we are here. I'm standing this morning with a divided heart. One part that is filled with exceeding joy for what God and Jesus Christ is going to do for His church. But one part that is immensely sad, because if I look around in this world and see the condition of the church of our precious Lord Jesus Christ, it makes me immensely sad. But He's going to do things. And for sure He's going to do things, because Jesus Christ is coming back. And He's coming back to a church that's alive. We're serving a God that's a calling God. A God that stands in says in the scripture, it's a God that through Jesus Christ calls us. And it's, you can see it from Genesis to Revelation. He was calling Abraham. He was calling Joseph. He was calling Moses. He was calling David. He was calling Joshua. He was calling Daniel. You can carry on. He was calling John the Baptist. He was calling Paul, and Jesus Christ was calling His disciples. So this morning, we're going to talk about a little bit about this calling, this mission of Jesus Christ. This calling and mission stands on two legs. The one is the personal one, and the one is the one of the Church of Jesus Christ. The personal one is where we every day going out, where we live in our houses, where we working, where we work, moving around in this community, where we be witnesses, where we be people that sharing and caring for others. The other one is the Church of Christ, where we are the body of Christ and the members of this body. And everyone is needed in this. Because if the leg is off, the foot is off, you're crippled. If the one arm is off, you can't do the work. So it's not just one, it's the whole body that must work in a unit. And if that has happened, then there's power. And that is what we are for. So this morning, I want to start by reading this Isaiah 58 to tell about more about what does God really mean with this calling for us. What is the Church of Christ purpose, and what must He do? We start reading it, Isaiah 58, from verse 6. Is this not the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bonds of the wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, And that you break every yoke, is it not to share your bread with the hungry? And that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out. When you see the naked, then you cover them, and not hide yourself from their own flesh. And then verse 9, then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. And you will take away, if you take away the yoke from the midst, and the pointing of the finger, and speaking wickedness. And then this verse 10, it's so precious. If you extend your soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then in verse 11, you shall delight yourself in the Lord. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. And then we read at Luke 4 verse 18, 17, start at 17. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He proclaimed the liberty to the captives, and recover of the sight of the blind, to set the liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. What's so precious for me about this piece is in verse 10. Where it stands, and I was reading out of the New King James Version, where it said to extend your soul for the hunger. To spend yourself on behalf of the hunger. If you spend your soul, it's yourself, it's your whole self. It's not just, I'm quickly gonna do a gift here, or give some bread there, or give some clothes there. It's a spending of your whole self, of your inner self, of what is important to you every day. It's expending, you spend yourself for this lost soul. You're the one that expend yourself for the hunger. That hunger, you see, it's not just food. Because the bigger hunger is the hunger what Jesus said when he said, you will live of every word and not just of food. That expending of your soul, to spend yourself for the oppressed, for those that are brokenhearted, ask something from you. It asks to go and sit down and talk, to show that loving kindness. If God says here, to spend yourself for the captive, for those that are in prison, for the captive. What does it mean? As you go into the prison, let all the prisons free. No. Because there are millions and billions of people outside the prison, that's more in the prison. They don't know it, that they are in prison. To spend and go and tell them that there's freedom in God, in Jesus. To go and spend yourself for the blind. What does that mean? That means that there are millions and millions of people outside that walk in darkness. They're blind. They don't know it. You have to go. You have to do it. If you've got Jesus Christ is the extreme, ultimate example of this. Not Saint Augustine, not Desmond Tutu, not Angus Buchan. Jesus Christ. If you're going to read all his work that he's done, he's done it with passion and kindness. He spent his time. He allowed them to come and sit at his feet and cry their hearts out. That's Jesus. He just not just feed them food, but he feed them also the gospel. That Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself expended him so far. He expended him on the cross on behalf of us, on behalf of Frick van der Merwe, on behalf of Andries, on behalf of Lucky, on behalf of each and everyone here. He spent himself for us. If he did that, how is it possible that our whole motive, our life, can't be one then of spending and expend ourselves for the others? It's not possible. But it asks something very serious. As Jesus Christ have died, we also must die. We have to be crucified daily. We have to deny ourselves daily. The self-pride, the self-believing, the self-pleasuring. We have to deny it to do this. To walk that every extra mile for the other. It's not just about giving food or giving money here. It's far more, far more, when you spend your soul on behalf of the other. And that is the call. That is the mission that God's asking. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, and I live no more. I live no more, but Christ lives in me. Then it's possible to do it. God said in Hosea 6, verse 6, I desire mercy. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. I desire the knowledge of the Lord and not burnt offerings. Ask Jesus Christ in Matthew 9. He said, go and learn what it means. Go and learn what it means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. That mercy is a readiness. It's a readiness all time. Spend yourself. It's a readiness to give yourself on behalf of the other with love and kindness. And then Jesus himself, before he left, he gave us this great command. He said, Go and make disciples of all nations. He's doing that with one motive, for the lost souls. And there's no one that's going to be exempt. There's no one that say, no, this is just for Andries, or this is just for Angus Buchan. This commandment is for each and everyone. For each and everyone. The question is, are we going to be obedient to this? So to sum up, what this calling, what this mission, what this fasting is that God wants, it is to spend our souls, ourselves, on behalf of the others. By the way that Jesus Christ did it. By crucifying ourselves. By showing mercy in all circumstances, cheerfully. And by going out. Because there is a lot of work outside. And the need is incredible. There's no time for just sitting down now. What do we need as a church? And for that, I just want to read two pieces, two things that I think that we need. And I'm going to read out of Revelation 2. Why out of Revelation? Because Jesus Christ spoke and still speak every day to the church. As he's spoken to the seven churches, he's speaking today also to us. And it's relevant, maybe more relevant. He says, Revelation 2, to the angel, to the church of Ephesus, write, these things says, he who held the seven stars in his right hand, who walked in the midst of seven golden lampstands, I know your words, your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say that they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered, and have patience, and have labored for me, for my name's sake, and have not become weary. What a CV. If I start there, read in the beginning, to the angel, to the church of St. John's. What a CV. But, verse 4, nevertheless, I have said this against you, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove you from the lampstand, from its place, unless you repent. This is a severe warning. It's not the Satan that can remove you. Jesus Christ himself that will remove the church. We not repent and turn back to our first love. If I think about this first love, if I read about this first love, I think about what Jesus Christ in John 21 asked Peter, the main disciple. He said, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Do you really love me? He asked him three times. Every time he said, feed my sheep. Care for my sheep. Look at my sheep. Look after them. Why did you think he asked it three times? Do you think that Peter didn't love Jesus Christ? I think he did. Because he left everything. For sure he loved him. Why will Jesus ask him three times? Because one reason. He wants that love to be higher. He needs it to be higher. Because Jesus knows he's going to deny me. And he did. In spite of the love, he denied him. 3 times. The same is for the church. We have to put love for Christ. A prayerly, daily prayer must be, Jesus, help me to love you more. To that love, to that higher. If not, we can't do that first works. What is that first works that I said? It's the works that is done purely out of love and nothing else. Nothing else. Otherwise, Jesus will remove us from the lampstand. The second thing that that we as church needed is in Revelation 3 from verse 14. And to the angel of the church of Laodiceans, these things says the Amen and the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither nor cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you. I will spit you out of my mouth. In verse 18. Therefore, be serious and repent. I want to say something about this, about lukewarmness. Lukewarmness is a very, very serious disease. You know, I know about diseases. I know a few serious diseases. I'm telling you that. But I'm telling you, this is the most serious disease that I've ever known. This is a serious disease. Why? Why? Because the people that's got this disease don't know it. They don't recognize it. And this disease causes death. Because Jesus said, he spit you out of your mouth. And if you're out of the presence of God, you're finished. It's a serious disease. But there's treatment for that. Prescription. Yes. The zeal for the Lord. The zeal for this calling. For this mission. That is it. Now I'm going to finish now. But I'm going to say 3 things that we must do as members of this congregation. 3 things. And I can preach for hours. Andries can come and preach for 3 years. We can ask Angus Buckham. We can even ask for Yaku again. It won't help if we're not doing these 3 things. It is crucial. If we really, truly want to walk in this path of calling, of mission, we must make more time for God alone. We must make more time to be with God alone. In fellowship, in prayer, in meditation. It's not just 5-minute prayer. No. Or just Sunday. I've been in church. I'm right. Yes, I'm right. It's not enough to build that intimate relationship with God and Jesus Christ. It is at most important. It asks some discipline, for sure. It asks some time, for sure. It asks the best time. When is the best time? Early in the morning. But the promise is there. The second thing that we must do urgently is that we must get on our knees. Earnestly, continually on our knees. And if your knees can't take it, I think there's also some medicine. Just go buy a nice cushion, but get on your knees. God acts on prayer. God acts on prayer. Nothing else. And if you pray, don't pray without believing. Trust the Lord. Otherwise you are. The third thing that we must do, and that is not the least, that is very important, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not automatically filled with the Holy Spirit. When you are saved, you've got His Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you can't be saved. But you're not filled. So how can one be filled by the Spirit? You might ask. First, it asks faith that trusts the Lord on His promise in His Word. His promise in His Word that He said He will fill you. And then, with that, when you open the door and allow Him, you do the two previous things that we've just said, and you will be filled by the Spirit. That is a promise. Why must we be filled with the Spirit? That's another question. In Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you, when you are filled with the Spirit. You will receive power." And that power is immensely important, because that you need to witness boldly, to seek the lost, and to establish the Church of Christ. Three things. If you're earnest about this calling, and I hope you are, I hope and I pray this out of my heart, do it. What now? I'm going to close with this. What now are we going to do? As members of this congregation, what is the starting point now? And he says, exactly as Andre said in the beginning, we must start refocusing, replanning, start with a new thinking, be reformed in your thinking and your doing. From an inward focus to an outward focus. My prayer is that for each and every one here, that God will put that in your heart. And when we're gonna walk now this next few months, and it's not just coming this walking in of this mission, of this calling. It's not just from the elders. I know now that it will come from each and every one of you. Because the church needs you, because Jesus Christ needs you, because God needs you. Let's pray. Dear wonderful Father, we come in this morning with a heart full of joy, because you are faithful, because you are trustworthy, because, oh God, you are the one that do the work in us. We must be just available. You say, Jesus Christ, thank you for you that has come to this earth to show us what is it to expend ourselves. What is mercy, showing mercy really means? Really means. We're falling very short from your commandment to go out and make disciples. We ask, O Lord, that you will send your Spirit upon this congregation as never before, that you will fill each and every one for this calling, because we need you. We earnestly need you. We need the power and the wisdom to go out in this world, in this calling, in this mission that God wants us to walk. Give us the courage, give us the energy and power. We trust for you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're coming.